You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Bill Barnwell joins us. Bill, one thing I'm very grateful for is the fact that you do join us each and every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And just out of curiosity, what's the one thing that you are most grateful for that you have realized in the last 6 to 8 months?
Ooh, hi, Anita. I would say I'm grateful that my family, especially the maybe elderly people in my family, have been very cautious during this entire crisis. I think I've had it reaffirmed that I'm lucky to come from some pretty smart people who are being careful. And I will say, maybe not the last 6 to 8 months, but last week, I feel very grateful that I managed to procure Will Fuller in all of my fantasies, because Will Fuller had himself a day on Thursday.
Yes, he did. Oh, that's an understatement. All right, well, we just heard from Jeremy Fuller in regard to the NFL. Before we dive into the specifics, and by the way, just momentarily, a good friend of mine, Aditi Kinkabwalu, who works for the NFL Network, is reporting that now another Raven starter, no name as of yet that I have seen on Twitter, as well as an assistant coach, has tested positive today, I guess momentarily, like a few, maybe an hour ago, who knows. But that's when it's being reported now. So more cases now in regard to the Baltimore Ravens. But before we dive into the specifics of that game, what have you heard in regard to a potential week 18 for the NFL in trying to have that makeup week for teams that are battling COVID-19?
I think I echo really what Jeremy said. I mean, a lot of, a lot of teams certainly are expecting there to be a week 18. You know, I think certainly you're seeing teams who are sort of building their practice schedules, building their rest schedules, thinking, okay, you know, chances are we're going to get a break before the playoffs start, especially some of these teams who are thinking, hey, you know, we're locked to be in the postseason. I don't want to name names, but, you know, teams who are, you know, maybe 95% to 100% to make it into January. And I think the NFL has sort of known this. You know, the NFL has always had that week in its back pocket, and I think it would be naive to think that they are going to avoid it. Now, obviously, I think they have been much more aggressive when it's come to keeping games on the schedule. Remember that Patriots-Chiefs game where it was just it was Cam Newton and it was Jordan Ta'amu, the two players who were tested positive, and they postponed that game. And now, I mean, you could have a half dozen guys out. The Ravens game was still set to go on Thursday until really Lamar Jackson went down and tested positive for COVID. Really, the NFL has sort of made it clear that as the season's gone on, as the bye weeks have gone away, they want to get the season done as quickly as possible. I don't think they're really all that concerned about a week 18 because you can get that, you know, that extra week buffer from the conference championship games and sort of move the Super Bowl a week forward, the conference championship games a week back and other playoff games a week back and keep the Super Bowl on the same day. But they are concerned about pushing the Super Bowl back. And so I think it's not really the week 18 that scares the NFL. It's more the possibility of maybe if the Ravens have a big outbreak, that they'd have to play a week 19 as well.
And I just, Danny, one of our listeners called, seems to be a big Steelers fan, and he's pretty perturbed because the game now is scheduled for Tuesday, it's going to be a quick turnaround for the Pittsburgh Steelers to play. Yeah. I want to say their next opponent is the Dallas Cowboys. What, 4 days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, this is the Steelers tonight. You know, we're early in the season. They missed out on their bye because Tennessee, that game was not postponed when they were practicing, and then suddenly it became their bye week. I mean, we were already concerned about the Steelers not having enough rest heading into the second half of the season. And they've been incredible, you know, and I think to not only Steelers fans' points, but also just the simple history of the NFL. I mean, this could be a 16-0 football team. It's not out of the question the Steelers could pull that off. Now, you know, are they going to be denied that opportunity because of something that other teams did, work with Tennessee or with Baltimore, you know, having outbreaks in their facility? I mean, that's going to be frustrating for not only fans, but also for the players themselves, who might sit back and think 20 years from now, hey, we had something that might have been historically great, and we were denied that through no fault of our own.
It's fascinating. Also, keep in mind, this is the first game that will be played that a starting quarterback will not be active. Lamar Jackson will not be active for this game. Ravens are hoping that he comes back for week 13. But I believe that's it. I think the Ravens take on the Cowboys, I believe. This is the first game that we're seeing a backup quarterback having to play because of COVID-19. And I had Mike Tannenbaum on the show just a few minutes ago, and he sounds pretty optimistic that this could be a huge opportunity for RG3. What are your expectations? Are you giving the Ravens a chance here with RG3 under the helm?
I mean, they have the defense to pull it off. I mean, they're obviously going to be missing some players on that side of the ball as well. But, you know, could they win this game with RG3 and with the defense, you know, protecting stuff? I mean, I think it's plausible. I've wanted to believe in RG3 for a while. I really like where he lands in Baltimore. I kind of thought he was going to be maybe a guy who could be impressive, you know, given the players around him, given the circumstances. We just haven't seen him be very good now for several years. I mean, since he left Washington, he just has not been a NFL-caliber quarterback. So I really just want to hold that hope. You know, I always think that he can pull it off, but I just haven't seen a lot of evidence that he's able to do that. So I think for me, you know, if they win that game, RG3 could play a role, and I think certainly, you know, he could protect the football. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I think you just have to hope that maybe, you know, they force a few turnovers from that Steelers offense, but I don't think he's going to be sort of a driving force in helping them win that football game, even if they do pull off what would be a pretty significant upset.
Bill Barn will join us here on 98.7 ESPN. You can see his work all over ESPN in the NFL site. Before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the two games happening here. With the Jets and the Giants. Let's start with the Giants first and foremost because, man, how the tide has turned, right? Mm-hmm. This game for the Giants against Cincinnati, the most significant, the most important game this season and an opportunity. They're still alive in the fight and very well could win the division and represent. So first and foremost, I mean your thoughts on the Giants and going up against, you know, we really don't know a lot about Brandon Allen, who was plucked off the practice squad and will be starting for Cincinnati. So your thoughts on how this Giants-Cincinnati game is going to play out, Bill?
I mean, when was the last time we were looking at a Giants game where it felt like they were comfortable favorites, where it would have been a shock if they lost that game? I mean, I really can't think about it. It's been several years now, I think, since that was the case for the Giants. So, you know, this is a new situation for them. You know, obviously, you know, they've been an up-and-down team. I think we've seen some signs of growth, but I don't think they're all that much different than they were 4 or 5 weeks ago in terms of their actual talent level or actual, you know, week-to-week performance. So I think, to me, I want to see, hey, you know, can they come in expecting to win this football game and actually pull it off? And that's not something that, you know, is really always easy to do. And I think that they've sort of benefited from low expectations over the past, you know, year and a half in the Daniel Jones era. So I think it's going to be a question of whether they can pull that off, whether the offense can play at a high level against a defense that really has not been very good. And with Brandon Allen, we don't know very much. I mean, he started a couple of games last year for Denver. You know, certainly I think a guy who, you know, has some athleticism, but I do think a guy who, you know, even last year was able to give the ball away. So I think for the Giants defense, you know, can you force two or three takeaways? Can you turn this into a route? Or is this going to have to be a shootout? Because, you know, I do think Cincinnati has pretty good weapons, even without Joe Burrow at quarterback. So I think, you know, a different sort of situation for the Giants league, but I think certainly, you know, an opportunity for them to take advantage of.
RJ Bell, who frequently does hits here on 98.7 ESPN, had mentioned that Allen is actually an upgrade from Finley and is going to surprise some folks on Sunday. Do you believe that? Do you think folks are going to be people who are going to be tuning into this game thinking, oh, practice squad quarterback like me? That's my mindset. Practice squad. I mean, come on, practice squad quarterback. But and people are going to sit back and go, whoa, like this is going to be a competitive game.
He has more upside, I think, than Finley. You know, I feel like he maybe has a wider range of outcomes. You know, I think Finley is just really, really conservative, just not a real option at quarterback. Allen did look okay for stretches in Denver. He just sort of had stretches where he just looked really overwhelmed. So I think for the Giants, you know, if he gets hot, if he, you know, completes his first 5 or 6 passes and he looks good, that might be a situation where, okay, we have to really readjust our sort of feelings. So I think for the Giants, it's going to be really important for them to get off to a hot start on defense, get pressure on him, you know, sort of make him uncomfortable. And then I think you're going to see more of the guy who really was not up to the task last year in Denver. But I do think he has maybe a wider range of outcomes and a higher ceiling than Finley does for sure.
And Bill, let's turn our attention to what's going on with the Jets. And Sam Darnold is expected back to start for the Jets this week against Miami. It's surprising to me. You know, I think the writing's on the wall here. I don't anticipate Sam Darnold to be the starting quarterback for the Jets. Of course, I'm anticipating a lot of changes here, but I'm curious, are you surprised with the decision that that the Jets are going back to Sam?
Not really. I mean, I think you're right. The wall is covered in writing. Let's be honest here. You know, the wall, there's multiple layers of writing on the wall when it comes to the Jets and what they're going to do this offseason. But I think if you're the Jets, realistically, if you're Joe Douglas, who you figure is going to keep his job and be around next year, you want to be sort of presenting Sam Darnold as a viable option in trade. And I think it's not as if Sam Darnold was so good early in the season that teams would be excited about trading for Sam Darnold. I think you want to see him maybe, you know, get off to a, or not get off to a hot start, maybe have a impressive end to the season and sort of give teams who might be thinking, yeah, we're going to draft somebody, we're going to sign somebody, maybe encourage them to actually make a deal for Sam Darnold. And I do think that relative to what we saw early in the season with Chris Hogan was being signed off the street to play, I mean, this is a relatively healthy offense around Sam Darnold, especially at receiver, which was not the case early in the season. So I think they're sort of hoping that maybe by getting Sam Darnold more help around him, and by sort of getting Stan to put his best foot forward over these final 3 or 4 or 5 weeks of the season, that might encourage a team to maybe give a second-round pick when they would have been only willing to give a third-round pick if Sam Darnold wasn't playing. So I think Joe Flacco was playing better than Sam Darnold, if I'm being honest with you. But I do think that the best thing for the Jets in the long term is for Sam Darnold to play well over the final 3, 4, 5 weeks of the year.
Last one for you, and it's on the opposite side, and that is Tua. You know, latest reports is dealing with he injured his thumb at practice. Prior to that, there was reports out there that he injured his foot. Of course, the Dolphins are indicating that there was no health issues, but he was benched because of poor play last week for Ryan Fitzpatrick. What are your expectations for the Giants coming into this game? I mean, the Dolphins coming into this game, knowing the Dolphins are still alive in that division.
I think if you're the Dolphins, why are you going to risk it? Like, you know, it's not as if you have Brandon Allen or Ryan Finley as your backup quarterback. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is playing well. You know, I don't see any reason to risk Tua if he's less than 100%, which is, I think, what would happen last week at the end of that game. I think he was getting beat up. He was getting hit a lot and was not 100%, and that's why they made that change. Fitz is a very, very solid, you know, either low-end starter or high-end backup, and you're a playoff team. Dolphins are in significant contention to compete for a playoff spot. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than Tua right now. Obviously, they want to see, you know, they want to develop Tua in the long run. There's something wrong with that. But until Tua is 100%, I don't see why you don't put Ryan Fitzpatrick back in, especially in a winnable matchup against the Jets. Why, you know, again, like, if you really want to get Tua in the lineup, you'll have your chances later in the season. I think it makes sense to come out and say, hey, Tua's 100%. We're going to have him inactive this week. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be our guy when Tua is healthy. He's going to go back as a starter, but we trust Ryan, and we're going to get the most out of him. And I think that, you know, the Jets are not the toughest opponent. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick would have a good game, and I think it would be a really logical move. But I'm kind of surprised that they're even really considering starting Tua, given the injuries they're reporting for him.
Agreed with you. Bill, always great to have you on. Again, please know how grateful we all are here at 98.7 ESPN to have you with us every Saturday afternoon. And happy holidays to you and your family, my friend.
Thanks, Anita. I love doing it anytime.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.